Like a storm blowing an ill wind across the face of the earth, people everywhere today are swept along with the diabolical spirit of doing what is right in their own eyes. In sharp contrast stand Jehovah's Witnesses. They are dedicated to the doing of what is right in Jehovah's eyes. Wisely, God's written word counsels, do not become wise in your own eyes. Fear Jehovah and turn away from bad. God knows that our imperfect hearts can lead us down a path into spiritual ruin. Hence, he warns, every way of a man is upright in his own eyes, but Jehovah is making an estimate of hearts. Thus, to avoid spiritual calamity, we need to fear Jehovah with all our heart and fully trust him to help us do what is right. We need to develop a pattern of life that pleases God. This appears to be a difficult thing for most people today, especially the youth. Teenagers are at a point in their life where in some matters they think they know everything. Yet at the same time, a number have self-doubts and fears. Some youths let their fears hold them back from doing the right things in Jehovah's eyes, dedication and baptism. Why? Some fear responsibility. What can be done to help them and older ones who hold back from baptism? How can they be taught to put greater trust in Jehovah and thus cast such fears aside? The drama you are about to hear may help. The setting? The auditorium of an assembly hall during an intermission between sessions. The time? The summer of 1991. May this drama encourage all of us to do what is right in Jehovah's eyes.
Congratulations, Timmy.
We're really proud of you getting baptized.
Thanks a lot, Sally. Thanks, Tom. I know I've done the right thing.
I snapped a picture of you coming out of the water. You'll probably want it framed.
Well, it won't be long before you and Sally are baptized. Then I'll get to take a picture of you, Tom.
You may have a long wait.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't think I'm ready to get baptized.
I kind of feel that way, too. I'm just too young.
Jehovah's blessings, Timothy.
Thank you, Brother Shepherd.
I saw you sitting among the other 25 baptismal candidates this morning, and I was very pleased.
Our circuit is really growing fast, isn't it, Brother Shepherd?
It sure is, Sally. It seems no matter where you look, Jehovah's people are on the move. Why, last year we had the largest number baptized since 1974.
Wow. I was only a year old back then.
16 years ago? I wasn't even born.
Yeah, I counted 11 brothers and 14 sisters today. As our circuit overseer, that must make you pretty happy.
There were young ones, teenagers, and several older ones, too.
It really made me feel great to see Mrs. Brown baptized.
Oh, she's Helen's student, isn't she?
Right. I remember when she first came to the hall, just about a year ago. Why, she told me she was 74 years old then, and today she was baptized.
Tom, you're 17, aren't you? You've been attending the meeting since I've been serving your congregation.
Yes, Brother Shepherd. You came about the time my parents stopped studying 2 years ago.
So you've been coming all by yourself. That's great, Tom. And I'm sure you've thought about dedication and baptism.
Oh, I know the next question. When will I get baptized? To be honest with you, I don't think I'm ready.
Why do you say that? Is it because you're not sure that what Jehovah's Witnesses believe is the truth?
Oh, no, Brother Shepherd. I'm convinced we have the truth. It's just that, well, I don't want to get baptized and then, get in trouble.
Well, then is it because you have some self-doubts And perhaps a fear that you won't be able to live up to God's moral standards?
Well, sorta. I just don't want to let Jehovah down. And my friends in the congregation, too.
I felt like that once.
You did?
Yes. I knew getting baptized was right in Jehovah's eyes. But I had some of those self-doubts Brother Shepherd talked about. I got over them, though.
And how about you, Sally? You've been raised by baptized parents. Do you have any self-doubts, too?
You could say that. But I think I'm too young to get baptized anyway.
But Sally, you're already 13 years old.
I am not. I'm 13 and a half.
Brother Shepherd, do you think being 13 years old is too young to get baptized?
That all depends on the individual, on his or her emotional and spiritual makeup. Baptism is not something you do because your friends are doing it. Rather, you get baptized because a good relationship with Jehovah has become the most important thing in your life. A few people may qualify for baptism before 13 years of age, and some already a little later. But you would think that most would get baptized by their late teens, especially those raised by witness parents.
Hello, Brother Shepherd. Hi, Sally and Tom. Excuse me, but I wanted to say I was pleased to see you among those baptized, Timmy. I hope I didn't interrupt anything important.
We're having a discussion about age and baptism.
Let's ask Helen, our pioneer, how old she was when she got baptized.
I was 14.
Didn't you think that was too young?
It wasn't for me. My parents kept baptism before me as a goal. Of course, I talked it over with the elders in my congregation, too.
Did you ever doubt whether you could live up to the requirements of a baptized witness?
I thought about it. But I was determined to do what was right in God's eyes. And baptism helped me get through my years in school.
Please explain, Helen.
Well, the fact that I knew I was dedicated to Jehovah was a strong force that kept me away from bad influences at school. When I was faced with temptations, I remembered that I was a dedicated and baptized witness. And when any schoolmates asked me to do questionable or bad things, I told them that I couldn't join them because I was a baptized Jehovah's Witness.
Did they make fun of you?
A few did, but most respected my beliefs.
The key, then, to conquering self-doubts is to become convinced about the scriptural things you've been taught, and then to live by your convictions.
That may be easier said than done in my case, Brother Shepherd. Remember, my parents are unbelievers.
You can do it, Tom. If you're willing to study hard and apply what you learn. How do I know? Because it worked for me. You see, when I was young, my parents, although baptized witnesses, were not very active in the truth.
I didn't know that.
And do you mean that when you were our age, you had fears too?
Many teenagers go through similar emotional feelings, Sally.
What helped you, Brother Shepherd?
The elders, the congregation, and my favorite story.
Your favorite story? Let me guess. Samson?
David and Goliath.
No, Josiah. The story of King Josiah. He was only 8 years old when he became king. Yet, Josiah's rule was one of the most remarkable in the history of the Judean kingdom. His father and grandfather were very bad examples in regard to true worship. But Josiah's rule turned out good. Josiah was 15 years old when he started to seriously search for the true God, and 19 when he began a vigorous campaign against idolatry. Josiah was 25 when he ordered the temple of Jehovah to be repaired and the nation rid of all false worship.
You said his father set a bad example in worship?
Yes, and so did his grandfather.
And you said he was only 8 years old when he became king?
Old was Josiah when he began to reign, and for 31 years he reigned in Jerusalem.
I'm stronger than you, Josiah.
You are not, Enan.
Yes, I am.
A toothless dog has more pulling strength than you, Enon.
Wrong, my lord. Are you ready now to concede victory, my lord?
Never. I will never quit.
Then prepare to lose, Josiah.
Boys, that's enough play for now. Enon, your father Pasha would like to see you. And Josiah, it is almost time for your next lesson in the history of the kings. Your tutor will be here shortly.
Good day, Hilkiah. Bye, Josiah. It was good playing with you, but I'll get the better of you one day.
Hilkiah, you don't seem pleased.
There's a spirit about Enon that is unwholesome, and I'm not sure he's good association for you.
But his father, Pasher, is a priest, like you.
That's true, my son, and Pasher has outstanding abilities. But at times he gets precariously close to imitating the customs of the nations. And Enon is much like his father.
Well then, with whom can I play? Am I not king? Can I not choose my own companions?
Indeed, you are a king, my lord. And I am but a humble priest. One day your word will be law. But for now, I have been assigned to look after you, and I must speak my mind. You can play with Ahikam. He is a boy who deeply loves Jehovah, and his father Shaphan is an official in your court, a man who is intensely devoted to Jehovah. Try to surround yourself with those who truly want to please God.
But I want to be a king who is strong and valiant, and Pasher has told Enon and me that exercise will build up our strength.
Yes, that's true. But remember this. Although a healthy body will help you to be strong in battle, there's more to being a king than being a warrior. To be successful, something far more important than physical strength is needed.
What is that, Hilkiah?
Godly devotion. It's beneficial for all things. Your personal loyalty to Jehovah will help you always to do what's right in his eyes. The brightest memories of the royal house of Judah are linked with the names of David, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah, men that served God.
I've been studying about them in my history lessons.
Well, especially note the life of our nation's second king, David, and his earnest allegiance to Jehovah.
David was strong. He killed a bear and a lion.
What, though, was the real source of his strength? Was it not Jehovah? Remember what he told the evil giant Goliath? I am coming to you with the name of Jehovah of armies. David was a good ruler because he trusted Jehovah implicitly, and above all, had godly devotion.
Did my father have godly devotion? Did he do what was right in Jehovah's eyes?
Why do you ask, my son?
I love my father, yet his court officials killed him. Hilkiah, was he a bad king?
Your father, Amon, provided well for your material needs. So in that way, you could say he was a good father. But as regards true worship of Jehovah, well, that he neglected. He did not do what was right in God's eyes. Your father left Judah and Jerusalem with an ugly record and a heavy load of sin before Jehovah.
My grandfather, Manasseh, he too was a bad king, wasn't he? Hilkiah, will I turn out to be a bad king too?
My son, that all depends on how great your love for Jehovah is.
I love him with my whole heart and soul.
Then you must show that love by closely following the commands of Jehovah, even if it makes you unpopular with other people. And you must not trust in your own wisdom. You can be a good ruler. Why, your grandfather Manasseh humbled himself before Jehovah and acknowledged his sin and was forgiven, but your father did not.
Will you help me to do what is right in Jehovah's eyes?
Excuse me, my lord. Hilkiah, you are needed at the temple now. I think Josiah can live without your benevolent influence for a few hours.
Pasher, who put you in charge?
I'm just trying to be helpful to a fellow priest. After all, you're not the high priest
yet. Pasher, Josiah is awaiting his tutor. See that he gets to his class on time. We will continue this discussion later, Josiah. Excuse me.
Enan has told me how much he enjoys playing with you. And he's a good boy. Every day he goes to the roof chamber of Ahaz to see how offerings are made to the army of the heavens. In this way, Enan expands his knowledge of the ways of other people. A good king learns about different customs. So why not join him? Just as an observer, of course. I know Enan has invited you before. Why haven't you gone with him? Is it because Hilkiah has mentioned something bad about my son to you?
Hilkiah has told me that Jehovah's authorized worship only at the temple, not foreign altars on the top of roofs.
Hilkiah places too strict an interpretation on Jehovah's will. Besides, has Hilkiah also told you that bowing down to the army of the heavens at the roof chamber of Ahaz was encouraged by your father and grandfather, and that it has been part of Israel's history for 100 years? Has he told you that the altar and the high place that Jeroboam had made in Bethel has been in use for more than 300 years?
No. No, although he did say that King Jeroboam caused Israel to sin.
Surely, if Jehovah did not approve of such worship, Josiah, he would not have allowed it to continue for so long a time. Also, there are no written records that outlaw such worship, and it is very, very popular with the people. A good ruler does not want to make his subjects unhappy. So why don't you join Enan when he visits the roof chamber of Ahaz? For educational purposes, of course.
Will it help me be a good king?
Excuse me, my lord. Your tutor is waiting to escort you to your history lesson.
And in the 8th year of Josiah's reigning, while he was still a boy, he started to search for the God of David, his forefather.
You shot well today, my lord.
Not as well as you, Enan. You only missed the target twice.
Thank you, my lord. You'd do better if you didn't spend so much time with that priest, Hilkiah.
But I want to learn all I can about our God, Jehovah. How else can I know what is right in Jehovah's eyes? Especially since I don't have a copy of the law. The book of the law has been missing from the royal court for years, at least since my grandfather Manasseh's day.
Too much learning about Jehovah will make you crazy. We're young. We've lived only 15 years. There will be time to become more serious about Jehovah later in life.
No, Enan. Now is the time, while we're young and strong, to seek to learn to do God's will. Some of the priests have copies of at least portions of the law, so I want to spend time with them. In this way, I can become a good king.
Well, my father Pashur is a priest, and he doesn't make me read the law. I read it only when I want to. And besides, what the priests have are mere copies of the book of the law, not the original one.
Buy out more time for your reading, Enan. Then you will not miss the mark of fully pleasing our God.
I do please God. I go to the high places, even the one way north at Bethel. You should come with me sometime.
No. Jehovah wants us to use the altar and the priesthood only at Jerusalem.
Well, some of the Levite priests serve at the high places from Geba to Beersheba. And besides, where are we commanded to worship only at Jerusalem?
Hilkiah has told me that it is written in the law.
How can you trust Hilkiah's copy of the law? How do you know that he did not alter the law for his own selfish purpose?
Enough of this talk, Enan. I think it is best if you left now.
Whatever you think, my lord. A good day, my lord.
Thank you.
You look upset, Josiah.
Enan is full of the hot east wind.
I thought you stopped associating with him.
I did. Well, not completely. I still meet him for my archery practice, but today is the last time I will ever do that. I enjoy the company of a Ahikam much better, even though he's not as good an archer as Enan. A Ahikam wants to do what is right in Jehovah's eyes, and we've become close friends, like David and Jonathan.
Ah, I see you've been studying the history of King David's rule.
Yes, and I've been taught the words and music to his psalms, too.
Remember David's psalm that begins, "Judge me, O Jehovah, for I myself have walked in my own integrity, and in Jehovah I have trusted, that I may not wobble."
Yes, the next two stanzas say,
"Examine me, O Jehovah, and put me to the test. Refine my kidneys and my heart, for your loving kindness is in front of my eyes. And I have walked in your truth."
I love those words.
Well then, finish the next stanza for me. I will start it. "I have not sat with men of untruth,
and with those who hide what they are,
I do not come in. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and with the wicked ones I do not sit." That clinches it. Enan is treacherous. He claims to be whole-souled to Jehovah, but he curries the favor of people, even foreign priests, in place of the favor of Jehovah. I swear I will not keep company with him again until he changes his way of thinking.
You have started to surround yourself with good men, men who love Jehovah, like Ahikam and Jeremiah, and your cousin Zephaniah. That's commendable. I exhort you to do so more fully.
That same psalm of David also reminds me of the temple.
Jehovah, I have loved the dwelling of your house and the place of the residing of your glory.
Jehovah's house has lost its glory. It's falling apart. I will command Shaphan to start a collection for repairs.
Perhaps you first should restore the reason for the temple's existence, as the center for true worship.
Yes. Pure worship of Jehovah must come first. But where should I begin? And suppose the people oppose my reform and rebel?
It must start with you, O King. You must demonstrate to your subjects that you are truly dedicated to Jehovah, that you are determined to carry out his will, and then the people will follow. Remember, where the shepherd goes, the flock follows.
I want to be a good leader, not like my grandfather and father.
You have started on a different path from your grandfather and father. For the last 8 years, you have been walking in the way of your forefather, David, a man agreeable to Jehovah's heart.
But suppose the people begin to see my strong dedication to restore pure worship, and then I slip into gross sin, like my father, Amon. Why, even David slipped into serious sin.
Amon, your father, did worse than sin. He refused to acknowledge his sin and humble himself before Jehovah. On the other hand, David never repeated his two most serious mistakes. For all his faults and gross sins, David always showed the right heart condition by repenting and by begging Jehovah's forgiveness.
Even my grandfather, who did on a grand scale what was bad in the eyes of Jehovah, was forgiven. Mark this day, Hilkiah. From this day forward, my life will be dedicated to restoring pure worship. I will begin making plans as to how to implement true worship from Geba to Beersheba. Hilkiah, tell the priests who are faithful to Jehovah the good news.
I saw Hilkiah leave in a hurry. Is something wrong, my lord?
No, Pasher. Today I have become determined to learn God's will more fully and put it into practice throughout my realm.
That's a large task, my lord. Are you undertaking more than a young king can?
With Jehovah's help, I will complete it.
Then you must join my son Enan and entreat Jehovah at the high place.
The high places do not have Jehovah's approval, Pasher.
Are you sure, my lord? The people are used to sacrificing to Jehovah at the high places. And a good ruler does not want to upset his subjects and make them angry with him. You do want to be known as a good ruler, do you not, Josiah?
And in the 12th year of Josiah's reign, he started to cleanse Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the sacred poles and the graven images and the molten statues.
Why has Josiah summoned us, Shaphan?
He knows there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors.
Perhaps he now wants to repair the temple, Hilkiah, and needs your advice, since you are now high priest.
Oh, how I wish, Ahikam. Jehovah's house has been abused and neglected since King Hezekiah's death.
But there is no money for it, Hilkiah. Princes, priests, and the people collect silver and gold for themselves, but no money for Jehovah's service.
Perhaps he has found the book of the law, which Moses himself wrote.
No. That book is still missing from the temple, Ahikam.
Perhaps he's frightened at Zephaniah's prophecy about Judah's destruction.
But my son, who knows when that day of fury will be?
You are right, Father.
My brothers.
Peace be with you, my brothers.
We had heard that Josiah might make a decision of some importance today.
You two shouldn't have awakened so early in the morning.
Nonsense. It's my duty to advise the king.
And don't forget, I loyally support Josiah. And since the first day he sat on the throne, we have been the closest of trusted companions.
You have been loyal, Enan.
King Josiah.
But loyal to what? Or to whom?
My father and I have done as much as anyone to make Judah what it is today.
And what is Judah today, Enan?
Judah today, it is a land at peace. At peace because we have learned to adapt to the nations around us. We don't reject their customs or practices so unreasonably as some would have us do. In turn, the nations so far believe we have a wise ruler and do not view us as a threat or reject us.
The question is not the nation's rejection of us. The question is, does Jehovah reject us? Our nation must do what is right in Jehovah's eyes, and I must lead the way.
The people still make sworn oaths to Jehovah.
And the same people make sworn oaths to Molech, the disgusting thing of the Ammonites. Can Jehovah indefinitely put up with his people's hearts being divided in worship to him?
Jehovah has not acted to the good or to the bad.
Are you saying that Molech does act, Pasher? The people pass their sons and daughters through the fire to Molech at Topheth in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Is that Molech's way of acting to the good?
Zephaniah says Jehovah will cut off those serving Molech, as well as those who are drawing back from following Jehovah.
We don't serve Molech, young man.
Produce your witnesses if you say we do. Produce witnesses or keep quiet.
I believe that Zephaniah speaks from Jehovah.
And Zephaniah also says Jehovah will stretch out his hand against Judah, Moab, Ammon, and Assyria.
The Assyrians have destroyed nations for smaller threats.
You don't believe Jehovah's judgment is against Judah, Enan?
I tell you, Zephaniah is wrong. Jehovah would never include his own people in a judgment against the nations.
If we, Jehovah's people, look and act and worship like all the nations, how will Jehovah tell us apart from them at his judgment, Enan?
We have his temple in our midst.
A temple whose repairs have been neglected for almost 70 years.
Enan, you say Jehovah will not reject his people.
Yes.
Yet, he permitted King Manasseh, my grandfather, to be imprisoned by the Assyrians. He allowed my father to be murdered.
Those things happen to every nation.
Are Jehovah's people to be like every nation? Hilkiah mentions that we have failed to make temple repairs. Why?
There is no money for it.
Still, I see some of the priests richly dressed, building houses and planting vineyards.
Prosperity is from Jehovah.
For 4 years, I have been seeking to know Jehovah, inquiring of him, listening to the Levites expound from their copies of the Book of the Law, studying Jehovah's dealings with us in the Book of the Kings of Judah and of Israel.
Have you come to know Jehovah now?
I have learned, Hilkiah, that Jehovah does not tolerate the high places or the altars of the Baals.
Your forefathers, Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah, pulled down the high places during their reigns, my lord.
Jehovah blessed and prospered all the kingdom when they ruled.
My lord the king?
Speak, Pasher.
I will admit your forefathers were wholehearted men and did pull down the high places. But the people rebuilt them each time. It could be a hopeless gesture to attack them now.
An expensive gesture, too. If we can't afford to repair the temple, how could we afford to pull down the high places? Our people could never bear the expense. Never.
Can we continue risking Jehovah's anger, Enan, by tolerating the high places?
The high places aren't so bad. I've been to some myself, only to observe, mind you. And all they do is offer incense. Maybe a small sacrifice.
What of the sex worship it is said they carry on at the high places?
You don't have to look if you don't want to.
How dare you stand before the king and the high priest, glorifying your closeness to the nations?
I have an open mind.
A mind open to what, Enan? Doing Jehovah's will or the will of the nations?
What sort of question is this you're asking?
Jehovah's people must take their stand for Jehovah. Write this down, Shaphan.
My pen is ready.
Judah and Jerusalem shall be cleansed from the high places and the sacred poles and the graven images, and the molten statues. Afterward, we shall go to the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and clear to Naphtali, cleansing the land.
The Assyrians rule that territory now.
The Assyrians?
If we are dedicated to doing Jehovah's will, what do we have to fear from anyone?
But Assyria is so great, and Judah is so small.
Enan, you don't oppose the king, do you?
Well? Oppose the king? Never.
I am told there are ones who will put the high places back up after we have torn them down.
Our history confirms it.
Then let us be thorough. The sacred poles, the graven images, and the molten statues shall be broken in pieces.
Pieces can be repaired.
Then they shall be reduced to powder, and the powder sprinkled on the surface of the burial places of those who used to sacrifice to them. And the bones of their priests I shall burn upon their altars and defile them.
It is written, my lord.
So let us do it. And may Jehovah discern by our deeds and our hearts that his people are not as the nations. Perhaps if we do what is right in Jehovah's eyes, we may be concealed in the day of his anger.
And so Josiah went pulling down the altars and the sacred poles, and the graven images he crushed and reduced to powder. And all the incense stands he cut down in all the land of Israel, after which he returned to Jerusalem. And in the 18th year of his reigning, he sent Shaphan to repair the house of Jehovah his God. Also, the word of Jehovah occurred in those days to Jeremiah, one of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin.
Keep telling you, Father, the purge by the king for the past 6 years was severe, but not nearly as severe as we thought. As a priest, you know yourself that the utensils made for Baal, the sacred pole, even the army of the heavens are still in Jehovah's temple.
And the sacred pole of Manasseh is still there, along with the houses for the male temple prostitutes. However, the king has begun to pour gold and silver into repairing the temple. Will his reforms end there?
Are there any reforms left? Or are you worrying that they might find the book of the law? It's been lost so long, I wonder if Moses ever wrote it in the first place.
Nevertheless, the more Josiah pushes ahead, the more dangerous it becomes for many of our friends and for us. And don't forget, despite Josiah's reforms, that priest from Anathoth, Jeremiah, is preaching that Jerusalem still worships the Baals.
Hilkiah is high priest. Tell him to keep this Jeremiah in line.
Hilkiah agrees with him. Now listen, we have to prevent the king from spending too extravagantly on the temple.
Ah, yes. Who could have foreseen that Josiah's misguided idealism would inspire such generosity? And that contributions would flow so abundantly.
Yes, money that could be used to fill our own coffers. Perhaps some of that generosity may yet be made to flow our way.
Jahath, Obadiah, Zechariah, and Meshullam are overseeing the mending and repairing of Jehovah's house.
Each one a Levite and a faithful man. Do they lack for anything?
They lack nothing. And there is also the money which the Levites have gathered from all the people.
Ah, Enan. Did you not tell me 6 years ago we could not afford to pull down the high places and repair the temple?
The money will all be spent too soon if you do not watch every shekel.
Jehovah's hand is not short toward those who do what is right in his eyes, Enan.
Are you lacking anything, Enan?
Enan only suggests that the builders and the overseers be made to give an accounting of the money. Perhaps having someone responsible approve everything.
Otherwise, they could easily enrich themselves at the temple's expense.
Whom do you have in mind, Pasher?
Oh, I could myself assure that not one shekel too much is spent.
Tell me, Pasher, are the men in charge of repairing Jehovah's house faithful men?
Perhaps they are. Perhaps they are not.
You well know that those men are faithful overseers, Pasher. And you too, Enan. Men loving Jehovah and hating what is bad.
There are those who would dispute that.
I do not. Nor do I see any reason to entrust the sacred funds to those who would rather enrich themselves than adorn the house of Jehovah. The arrangement stands.
Peace, my son Ahikam. I heard I could find you here in the west gate of the temple.
Father, peace be to you. Jeremiah was just here. You should have heard what he had to say about the state of the people.
Jeremiah? What did he say?
He said we must learn to carry out justice between a man and his companion. The alien resident, the fatherless boy, and the widow must not be oppressed. And we must not walk after other gods.
In spite of all our work, the people's hearts are divided in their worship. They feel mere attendants at
Chafin. The... Chafin! Chafin! I have found it! I have found it! The very book of the law I have found in the house of Jehovah.
The book of the law?
Look! Written by the very hand of Moses.
I must quickly bring this to the king. O king, a great discovery has been made.
What? That old and tattered scroll?
More than that, O king, the answer to your prayers. Listen. And it must occur that if you'll without fail listen to the voice of Jehovah your God...
Stop! Those words, what are you reading? It's the book of the law. How I longed for this day to come. Read. Please read, Chafin.
And it must occur that if you'll without fail listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, by being careful to do all his commandments that I am commanding you today, Jehovah your God also will certainly put you high above all other nations of the earth. And it must occur that if you will not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, by taking care to do all his commandments, all these maledictions must also come upon you, until you have been annihilated, and they must continue on you and your offspring, and you will have to serve your enemies, whom Jehovah will send against you, with hunger and thirst and nakedness and the want of everything.
We have sinned against Jehovah.
Shall I read more?
No. Give me the book, please. I will read it myself. Take Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam your son and Achbor and Asaiah and go. Inquire of Jehovah in my own behalf and in behalf of the people and in behalf of all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is Jehovah's rage that has been set afire against us.
My father, the book of the law has been discovered.
The book of the law?
The king sent five faithful men to Huldah the prophetess, who lives in the second quarter of the city.
And what did Huldah tell them?
She said Jehovah promises that during Josiah's lifetime, the curses in the book will not occur.
What with Jeremiah's preaching and this, the people might stand behind Josiah if he decides to act.
Perhaps someone will assassinate him, as was done to his father. Not that we would participate.
True. But if any of his sons were king, we might get back to the way things were before.
Then you'd better act. The king is sending and gathering to himself all the people from small to great.
Where are they to gather?
At the temple.
Then that's where we shall go. Who is that?
I see no one.
I hope you're right.
Have you finished copying the book?
I have, Ahikam.
Do you understand that not all the people will be pleased?
Ahikam, I must set the proper example for the nation.
You understand, too, that you can't make people change what's in their hearts.
True, but I can show them how to do what is right in Jehovah's eyes. Then they will have to take their own stand.
The people are assembled, Josiah.
Are you ready?
I am ready. For this day, Jehovah's people shall take a stand for Jehovah before all the earth. Let the nations know we are not and shall not be as they are.
There are princes and priests and prophets who will turn against you.
There will be opposition, but Jehovah sustains his loyal ones.
Chafin,
Will not Jehovah give us courage if we do what is right in his eyes?
After that, the king went up to the house of Jehovah, and also with him all the people, from small to great. And he began to read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of Jehovah.
See, I do put before you today life and good, and death and bad. If you will listen to the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I am commanding you today, so as to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, then Jehovah your God must bless you. But if your heart turns away, and you do not listen, I do tell you today that you will positively perish. I do take the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you today that I have put life and death before you, the blessing and the malediction. And you must choose life in order that you may keep alive by loving Jehovah your God, by listening to his voice, and by sticking to him. For he is your life and the length of your days.
Amen. And the king kept standing by the pillar and now concluded the covenant before Jehovah, to walk after Jehovah and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all the heart and with all the soul, by carrying out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Accordingly, all the people took their stand in the covenant.
Look, all the people are supporting him.
Why not? I took my stand too. I thought, I can go along with the king as long as he is alive. If the kingdom is destroyed, as Josiah fears it will be, I'll be on the safe side.
And if it isn't destroyed?
If it isn't destroyed, as soon as the king dies, we can go back to the way things were before he started this wretched reform action.
You're right. Taking a stand in that crowd of worshippers was easy. I didn't mind saying amen to the covenant.
Pasher, Enan, are you with me?
As my heart was before, so it is still, my lord Josiah.
Of course, my lord. We are with you, my lord.
Then we shall cleanse this land and this house, and make it possible for all who worship Jehovah to worship him acceptably.
But you've already cleansed the house and the land.
Did you not hear the book, Pasher? Hilkiah.
Yes, Josiah.
The temple will be cleansed. Completely.
I have longed many years to hear those words.
Shaphan, write. The utensils made for Baal, and the sacred pole, and the army of the heavens, take them outside Jerusalem and burn them.
And the priests of the foreign gods?
Put them out of business.
There's a sacred pole King Manasseh put into the house of Jehovah.
Take it to the valley of Kidron. Burn it. Grind it to dust. Cast its dust upon the burial places of the sons of the people. And those houses of the male temple prostitutes that are in the house of Jehovah?
Yes, my lord.
Pull them down.
But that is everything. What of the worshippers from the nations who...
Did you not take your stand with the others?
Of course.
You will be particularly delighted in my next command. The high places from Geba as far as Beersheba, make them unfit for worship.
Even so.
And Topheth, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, shall be made unfit for worship, that no one may make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech.
There are chariots to the sun, which the kings of Judah put into the house of Jehovah.
Burn them in fire. And this should interest you, Pasher.
Me, my lord?
The altars that are on the roof of Ahaz's roof chamber that the kings of Judah had made?
Yes.
Pull them down. Crush them. Cast their dust into the torn valley of Kidron. The altars that Manasseh and Solomon built make them unfit for worship.
My lord, do you realize what you are saying?
Jehovah's people, all of his people, will be able to worship Jehovah exclusively as their hearts move them.
There are worshipers of Jehovah in Israel, to the north of Judah.
That's Assyrian territory.
Assyria is fighting for its own life. You wouldn't
think... We went to Israel before, clear to Naphtali. This time it will be complete. Shaphan.
Yes, my lord.
Prepare the men for work.
What of men like Pasher and Enan? Will you leave them unpunished?
Jehovah will judge each of us for what is in our hearts. He will most certainly judge the likes of Enan and Pasher.
Will you really go to Israel and tear down the altar to the golden calf that is in Bethel?
Yes, and more. I shall take the bones from the burial places and burn them on that altar and make it unfit for worship. All the high places in the cities of Samaria shall be removed, and the priests of the high places will be killed. Are you standing for Jehovah, Ahikam?
With all my heart.
Go. I'll join the men soon.
Jehovah be with you, Josiah. May Jehovah grant you strength for the work, Josiah.
And may Jehovah be with you, Ahikam. May our God grant all of his people strength to always do what is right in Jehovah's eyes.
So Josiah removed all the detestable things out of all the lands that belonged to the sons of Israel. And he had all those who were found in Israel take up service, to serve Jehovah their God. All his days they did not turn aside from following Jehovah, the God of their forefathers. And there had never been held a Passover like it in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither had any of the other kings of Israel themselves held a Passover like that which Josiah and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were to be found and the inhabitants of Jerusalem held.
What a story!
No wonder this one is your favorite, Brother Shepherd.
Josiah really did obey Jehovah's law, even when it came to the Passover celebration.
And he did even more, Helen. Josiah set the example for the princes by making a large contribution himself.
Josiah's life really shows how a young person can take a stand for Jehovah.
Speaking of taking a stand, Brother Shepherd, I can see now that I really should take a stand and get baptized. But my parents aren't in the truth.
It won't be easy, Tom. But if you set your mind to it with Jehovah's help, you can do it. Josiah took a stand, and really, when you think of it, he wasn't much different from you. Even you, Sally.
Well, I guess I can't use the excuse I'm too young anymore after learning what Josiah did.
But do you think I can handle the responsibility of being a baptized witness, Brother Shepherd?
That's not for me to say, Tom. However, let me ask you and Sally. You have a driver's license, don't you, Tom? And Sally, you select what clothes you will wear, right?
Yes.
Why, yes. Is there something wrong with what I've got on? I mean, if...
No, Sally. You display a fine appearance as a young lady. And that's the point. Both you and Tom make decisions every day. Your choice in clothes and driving allows you more freedom. But with that freedom comes something else that's very important.
What's that?
You mean responsibility?
That's it.
Also, doesn't freedom make you more accountable?
Yes. You have a responsibility and an accountability to dress and drive properly. Baptism, although far more serious, is similar. And since both of you seem to be able to handle responsibilities, what prevents you from taking definite steps toward getting baptized?
Baptism also opens the door to other privileges, like pioneering.
or Bethel service.
But not all who get baptized live up to their responsibility.
That's sad, but true. Baptism is a big step. However, what is done afterward is important, too.
Don't the vast majority who are baptized prove faithful, Brother Shepherd?
Yes, including our youth. Look, Tom, let me put it this way. Would you turn in your driver's license just because some drivers get into auto accidents?
No. I think I see your point. I don't let the fear of an accident stop me from driving. So why should I let fear of failure hold me back from the privilege of being a baptized witness?
Exactly.
Or one day I may want to marry. A pioneer, of course. If I truly love that man, I'm not going to hold back from marrying him just because other marriages fail.
That's the point. If you, Tom and Sally, truly love Jehovah, and as the Proverbs say, trust in Jehovah with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, then he will make your path straight. One other thing. Remember the text. Be of good courage and say, Jehovah is my helper. If you and Sally put your faith and trust in Jehovah, then he'll help you serve him. He'll help you keep integrity.
Well, you've given me a lot to think about, Brother Shepherd. I know what I need to do. Starting today, like Josiah did, I need to make a real search for Jehovah by doing more personal study. I'm not going to let anything stand in my way.
Me too. I'm going to talk things over with Mom and Dad so they can help me qualify for baptism.
Brothers and sisters, please find your seats. This afternoon's program will begin in 5 minutes.
Well, it looks like we'd better get ourselves seated. It was good talking with you, though. Helen, keep up your good work in pioneering. Congratulations again, Timothy. And Sally and Tom, please let me know how things work out, will you?
Tim, I'd like to ask you a favor.
Of course. What is it?
At our next assembly, be sure to bring your camera.
Always doing what is right in Jehovah's eyes is not easy when Satan the devil is ruling the world. It takes dedication, determination, and hard work. But it can be done, and is being done by Jehovah's dedicated servants the world over and with his help. Thus, whether you are young or old, if the fear of responsibility and accountability is holding you back from being baptized, then study God's Word diligently to make the truth your own, and take your stand for true worship by qualifying for baptism. We who are dedicated and baptized, let us be resolved to live a life that not only is free from worldliness, but upholds Jehovah's righteous standards and promotes his pure worship. In this way, we, Jehovah's people, can enjoy the prospects of living in God's new earth because we are doing what is right in Jehovah's eyes.